Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. If you missed the first hour, you've got to catch it. Talking about Doomsday, talking about the Tower of Babel, talking about Wisdom Moment. And so many wonderful things. We're going to be sharing with you in this extra hour testimonies, personal experiences, for what took place with us in an outpouring of God's love at 3100 West DeSoto Street, Brownsville Assembly of God, being pastored by Brother John Kilpatrick at the time. 2013, the year of the harvest, the top of Google search for VFN Radio and VFN TV. It looks like a little hint.
A little bit.
A little bit. If you go to Google right now and you type in 2013, the year of the harvest, you're listening to what's going to be a part of that harvest. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in the Extra Hour is the producer of VFN Radio program and VFN TV, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And the one and only living just outside of Babylon. Trying to reach the folks. No. John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos. What a wonderful, wonderful first hour. I'm telling you, it just, you know, I don't like saying that the time moves quickly, so I'm not going to say it. It just quickly time moves. How about that? Quickly time moves. And there's so many things on it. It's just, I couldn't, you know, when I was a new believer, and if I would have had, you know, all of you guys talking and hearing what we're talking about on VFN Radio, I would have so encouraged. You know, I was like, oh, somebody loves him too. You know, because it's amazing when you get born again in a religious environment today, because America's so religious. Mm-hmm. You have this person that's like, I'm so in love with God. And then they hang around people who said they are in love with God, but they're actually fell in love with the world and left their love of God. Mm-hmm. There's a dangerous moment where that person begins to say, well, I guess maybe I'm just too excited. Maybe, you know, somebody goes, he'll calm down. You know, he'll get lukewarm like us. Like, well, thank you, mentor. I appreciate that. Or you can listen to VFN.
Zealous there.
Yeah, you can listen to VFN Radio and say, listen, there are many people in love with God. And that the book of Acts is not a myth or a history book. It's actually what we're supposed to be seeing and doing in the church. The Bible is our pattern. It's our plumb line. And it's exciting. It's exciting. Jesus is alive. He is Lord of the harvest. And he said to pray to him, to ask him to send out workers. And we're talking to you. Maybe you are, God has called you to be a part. And if you are a believer, you're called to go into the harvest field. Timing is important. Being discipled is important. Being rightly related is important, so you survive and end up in the kingdom that you preach. And maybe VFN, Vine Fellowship Network, is for you, you know, or Vine Fellowship Network University, where you can get all connected, get discipled, and get launched into your destiny so that the day that you do stand before the throne of God, no witnesses, no suspects, that the same expectations God has for an Oral Roberts that he has for a Billy Graham, that he has for a Steve Hill, he has for you. Mm-hmm. He has for you. But whatever talents, whatever measure of what he's given you, he's gonna say, what did you do with it? And maybe God's given you a talent that you can do, if you're going to measure it by numbers, that you could do 10, you know, but you're only doing 5. Mm-hmm. Well, what did you do with the other 5? But maybe you're somebody that's been given talents, and there's plenty of these folks that you've been given 1,000. You can do 1,000. But, you know, you're doing 10 or doing 100, but you're doing 900 on yourself. You know, mm-hmm. God, you're taking all that talent and everything. You're just building up wealth for yourself and hoarding things and you can buy them bigger things. And listen, a day's going to come. You're going to stand right by the guy who actually had 10 talents and he invested 10 talents and he received back an interest. Something came from what he did for God, as a gift for God. And you're going to stand right next to him and you would have invested, you know, 100, if you're doing numbers, of your talents, but kept 900 for yourself to be able to feed into your own flesh and things that you want. And you're going to think because you did 100 that God's going to see you greater than the guy who did 10, but you don't understand. That's all he had was, all he had was 5.
Mm-hmm.
All he had was 10. He maxed out. He did 100%. God's into percentages, not amounts. And it's very important to realize this. He's going to say, listen, you know, you wicked and lazy. I'm just quoting Jesus here. Listen, I'm not quoting doctrine. I mean, I'm about, you know, men's doctrines. I'm talking about the word of God. Jesus says, then the master will come back and he'll look at you and he'll say, you wicked and lazy servant. Mm-hmm. Take what you do have and give it to the one who doesn't have. And so you got to take all that 1,000 mm-hmm. and give it to that one who had 10. And but the one who did the, that had the 5 and invested it and got 10 back and he had 10, you know, the Lord looks at him and says, the master looks at him and says, well done. Mm-hmm. And that blows somebody else away. He says, listen, I have mansions that I live in, cars that are my, and I spent them all on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my house is bigger. Aren't I more valuable?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ask Lazarus. Right?
That's right.
And so understand that, you know, what are you doing with what God's given you? What are you doing with what God has given you? And we're talking to you to encourage you that first begin to get a vision that, hey, you can do something for God. You know, the same Jesus that's in the next believer is in you. The same Bible that this man preaches out of, if it is the Holy Bible, is the same Bible that you can preach out of and teach out of. You just need to get related with the people who believe that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you need somebody who believes God and it's not right. Having to go, you won't, ones that signs are following them, that they're not following signs. It's like, mm-hmm. Why do I need to be with you if you're following signs? I need to find somewhere where the signs follow them, right? Right? I mean, it's, you know, these signs follow those who believe.
Right.
And Jesus works with us confirming those signs. And it's just pretty cool. There's all over the world, there's people who love God and who are following God like that. And I think about, you know, Steve and I were talking last night, I believe it was, in Pittsburgh, you know, and God's just really blessing him there. He got just really blessed. And he was bringing this out, how the Lord just laid this on his heart, and he was sharing it with me, and it just barely bears witness. And it's so timely. Because when you start to do something for God, you've got to be real careful that all of a sudden you're saying you're doing it for God, but you can find out how you're reacting to what's happening if you really are doing it for yourself.
Mm.
You know, and I think about it, you know, and Paul was writing to the church of Corinthians and he was talking about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There was division happening with believers because they begin to measure success. They begin to define it, you know, they begin to say, you know, look what I'm doing or look what he's doing. And because he looks like he's doing more, therefore he's more valuable, and this one looks like he's not doing. And all of a sudden, there's this big, you know, value based off of what was going on. And so, this is how Paul responds to it. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 through 9, he says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. This is what he's about to talk about then, is a very worldly view, and it's like a babe in Christ. It's an immature argument. He says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. I mean, think about it. Some people say, well, you know, I've been a believer for 5 years. And it's like, but you still have the nipple in your mouth.
That's right.
You got to move up. You got to move up. And the way that meat is when you begin to do what God says and you practice the word of God in your life, you practice and you become, you know, Hebrews 6 talks about that. And he says, you're still worldly. Since there is jealousy and quarreling amongst you, are you not worldly? And the thing about it is, if you have an insecure man who feels less than because he has less money in his wallet, he has a smaller house, he has fewer people that he's ministering to, or his family's not as big as someone else's family. Understand this, that's a pride thing. Mm-hmm. And when he does get the thing that he thinks he needs, that same pride will be there, and now he'll think of himself more valuable than he is.
That's right. Mm.
If you have somebody that feels insecure, saying they see somebody else that's singing, you know, and they're worshiping God, and they're with their voice, and somebody says, oh, you know, I want that. I want to be able to do that. Well, you have to understand, there some people want it because they want the glory and they want to be value. They see value in that for themselves. Mm-hmm. And some people just begin to worship God where they're at, like David did in the wilderness. It's a big difference. You know, a lot of people, it's huge. And so pride and worldliness and infancy in Christ, is there's an argument going on. He says, are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, another one says, I follow Apollos, are they not mere men? You know, and some mirror men don't understand they're mirror men. Cool. You talk to them, it's like, oh my goodness, we were talking to somebody who doesn't understand they're a mirror man.
Right.
We got to be real careful because we could really hurt their pride right now. Right?
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
That fruit. Anyway, so and then Paul goes in and says, what after all is Apollos? Because they're like, some people are going, I was in such and such. I go to this gathering over here, and this is my pastor there. And they're talking like, what? You know, and he says, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? He's talking about himself. Only servants. That's who we all are. Through whom one came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each of us a task. We are not what we do. That's called hoodoo. And you've probably heard that again and again on VFN Radio, and you will continually hear it because we have to get, God wants some hear doers, people to hear and do, but we're not hoodoo all of a sudden because we are doing this, all of a sudden we're greater than somebody. That's who we are. And he said, you know, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. And that's so important. But God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he that waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. So who makes things grow?
God.
Right. Now, if you get into making things grow, that's called manipulation, and it's not God's kingdom that's being built. That's your kingdom that's being built. That's how you can build monstrosities with a whole bunch of people who don't even know God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard people say, you know, there have been somebody in my place that didn't know, you know, they were with us 6 months. They didn't even know we were the church.
Right.
And it's like, you openly said that?
And they didn't know God.
And didn't know God. Months. It's like, you think you'd get it close. Since, anyway. So the man who plants, he goes on to say, and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor, for we are all God's fellow workers. We are all God's fellow workers. You are God's field in God's building. So we're just all in this thing together. Once you become a believer, you are a son and daughter of God. You are in the family of God. And there's mothers and fathers in the Lord and all that, but we're all family. We're just family. And nobody's any greater than the other person. And the seed, you have to understand that the seed is the word of God. When you understand, when you hear about the parable of the sower, Jesus makes it plain in Luke 8:11. He says, listen, that the meaning of this parable is the seed is the word of God. It's the word of God. And the field, he says, we are the field. It's the hearts of men. That's the soil that it gets planted in. And since God's word is the seed, he tells us in Isaiah 55:10-11, that as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so it is with my word that goes out from my mouth, the mouth, and it will return, and it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. It's going to accomplish what it set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
So God is the one. It's God's seed. It's not our seed. It's God's truth. It's the gospel. The good news is Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And if he be lifted up and we tell people about him being lifted up, then he draws men under. It's him. But we plant that seed. But we tell people about it. It's his seed. It's not our seed. And we plant it. And another man comes and prays and believes God and gets watered. And in that, but God, and that seed's going to accomplish what it's set out to do. You can't say, you know what's going to happen. I mean, you can't say it's God's going to cause that thing to grow, but it's no matter what, it's going to bring every man to accountability before the throne of God and say, what decision did you make with the seed that was laid upon your heart? The word of God, when you heard the word of God. And it's going to accomplish what? That every man had a chance. Every man had a chance. The gospel will be preached, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all. In other words, seed will hit every soil out there, every man's heart, and the end will come. So division happens in the church because men assume that one man was actually seeing things grow around him or her, that they were more valuable. And they begin to measure themselves by saying, well, I have fewer and they have more. And they start measuring things off the abundance of things, and God doesn't do that. When the reality is, the success in God is when you sow the seed, when you go out and begin to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. You begin to love on them, you begin to pray for them, and you plant the seed. You can't make it grow. You can hope for it to grow, you can pray for it to grow, mm-hmm. but you cannot make it grow. It's only God that causes it to grow. And when it does grow, it grows maybe in your ministry, in your workplace, wherever it is, but that's God causing it to grow. You're not any greater because all of a sudden that person responded to the gospel. God's greater.
That's right.
You're just a fellow worker, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, clock in like me, man. We're going to all go to heaven together.
Come on.
You know, if Jesus says the kingdom of God is like this and heaven's like this, is that it doesn't matter when you come in and when you start working in the field, you're going to get paid the very same thing. Because we're all the same. And so you think about it, to understand the parable of the sower, then it helps you understand what the argument was going on and how to begin to define things, how things happen, and what is the key then to growth. Well, he says it, Matthew 13, verse 1 through 9, the parable of the sower, Jesus says, it reads, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering his seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and they ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell amongst thorns and grew up and was choked out by the plants were choked out by these thorns. Still other seed fell on good soil. Say that. Say good soil.
Good soil.
It fell on good soil where it produced. It grew. It produced a crop of 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. He who has an ear, Jesus said, let him hear. And then he began to say in verse 18, he says, listen then to what the parable of the sower really means. And this is important because we all need to be in the harvest fields. All this jealousy and this contention and this pride and the self-exaltation and measuring and all that stuff, it's got to stop. Knock that. We got to knock it off. We're all workers in the same field. We're mm-hmm. all going to get the same reward. We're all going to get, it's not about that. We've already won.
That's right.
We've already won. We need to tell others about Jesus. It's time. In 2013, I believe, it's going to be the year of a great harvest. But he says, let me tell you what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears this message, right, the word going out, somebody's mouth, when they hear this message about the kingdom of God and do not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, the word that was sown in their heart. He says, this is the seed that was along the path. So what happened? Well, you were obedient. You went out and you told somebody about Jesus, maybe at a gas station or a coffee shop, and they're excited about it. They didn't really understand it. By the time they got in their car and drove off, then Satan comes and steals that away from them because they didn't understand it. Are you less valuable or more valuable? Because that has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself. This is a God thing. This is God. You know, you are not the master. God's the master. And this is going to empower you to be a worker.
That's right.
You know, we are believing that men and women of God are going to rise up and begin to tell people the good news and give them a chance and begin to send the seed out. Then he goes in verse 20, says, and the one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. What did he do? He received it with joy. I mean, he's pumped. Woo! I mean, he's like happy and everything. He says, but since it has no root, he lasts only a short time. Let me tell you something. That's Jesus saying that. What happened is that he received it. He believed it, and then he lost it. That's Jesus. Get over it. He said it. He's right. Let every man be a liar and God be the truth.
That's right.
What happened? He was a disciple. He didn't get any roots. He says, but since he had no roots, he lasted only a short time. When trouble and persecution came because of the word, he quickly fell away. Listen, you, to be able to fight lies, you got to know the truth. And if only 19% of the church is in the word of God, you know, you can't say, well, I just, you know, that, you know, if you are set up with the truth of God and you have an ability to train people in the word of God, disciple them, I mean, you're set up, you know, it's up to them what they're going to do with it. You know, you're not any less valuable or more valuable. You should be brokenhearted if somebody gets choked up because they refuse to be discipled.
Yeah.
They just looked at the cares of life and defined themselves by that instead of listening to what God said about them. And he said that the one who received the seed that fell amongst the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choked it and making it unfruitful. I mean, that's America right now. We're being choked out by money. It's just money, money, money. So everybody's thinking about the money cliff. That's what fiscal means, the money cliff.
Right.
We're going over the money cliff. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Going over the money. That's what fiscal means, by the way. We're going over the money cliff.
Wow.
And the church is being choked out by it. I mean, we're paying $1.3 million per baptized believer. Come on, yeah. My goodness. So anyway, we're just trying to get this figured out here. But the one, Jesus said, who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He hears it. He understands it. He produces a crop that yields 130 and 60-fold. So you see, this is it. You're just supposed to tell people about Jesus. Quit not telling them because you're predicting how they're going to respond and you're defining yourself by whether they say yes or no to God to say, listen, it has nothing to do with you. You just tell them about God. Stop not telling them. Don't let the enemy stop your mouth from moving. Break the lockjaw. My goodness, church. You know, we should be telling every day people about the word of God, but the lies of the enemies locked your mind and locked your feet and locked you down. The deceitfulness of riches and all these things choking it out and saying, you need to get out there and quit defining success by anything other than you're a fellow worker. You're a fellow worker and understand that the condition of that soil, the condition of that man's heart will determine whether God's going to cause it to grow or not. That man's got to believe first. He's got to believe first. And not only does he have to believe, but he's got to get roots down and fruit up. Because you can believe in hard times and hot times come. Mm-hmm. And yes, that was a genuine encounter with God. But yes, they're back in the world again. They've left God.
Yeah. You can't judge your ministry efforts by the harvest you reap, but only by the seeds you've sown. You know, the harvest belongs to the Lord. So it's like the harvest has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with what God's going to do.
But the harvest means you can't make it grow. You just can't make it grow. I mean, what happens is when people start measuring that way, start doing things to create numbers, you know.
An appearance of growth.
It's an appearance of growth.
Right.
But it's, you know, it can be poor, naked, blind, and dead. Mm. And that's how you can be in a place for 6 months and not know it's the church because very well, a lot of it might not be.
Exactly.
And so understanding that, you know, this is how the army is going to be launched. I realize that we're all called in the army of God. You know, we're all called to go out and to love people. And so the seed is you telling people the word of God. It comes out of our mouths and it's going to accomplish. May not accomplish. It'd be like Joseph, you know, they may carry our bones out. We might not see the harvest, but you know what? In eternity, I'm going to see all this seed and everybody I told about God. They're going to be brought to the throne room of God. And some will say, he'll say, enter in. Well done, that good and faithful servant. And you'll be able to meet that person because what you shared in their heart, they believed and they received and it was part of it. But there'll be other people that God will remind them of the encounter that you had with them at the gas station that said, listen, you know, that Pat came to you and he told you about me and he told you about the way to me and you turned away. You said no to it. You said no to me. But it will accomplish that's what it set out to do. People say, well, you know, it's just automatically going to be a great harvest. Well, there's going to be a harvest period. You know, everything's going to be harvested, you know, good and bad. And we're all going to be brought like sheep and goats before God. And every one of us would have heard the gospel. And we're going to have to answer. We would have had the seed thrown our way and landed on our heart. What did we do with it? Did we believe? Was it good? Did we have a good heart? And we say, yes, we want that. And we receive it. And when you get past this, you realize, you know what? That I need to start telling people about Jesus. I need to start telling people about Jesus. You know, and at first, if you're having a struggle with it, tell them about Viva and Radio. We'll help you. We'll partner with you. That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And telling them about your own personal testimony and realize that if they can believe and receive it, but not getting the roots, in other words, don't get discipled, then you need to have a strategy. A strategy. There needs to be a strategy, because remember, the good soul is the one that not only received, believed, understood, but produced.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have a strategy for a productive life. And we're going to make this all available for you on the VFN Torch. It's called Strategy for a Productive Life, Understanding This. We have a teaching on it. We have even a little simple little piece of paper that you fill this out. It'll show you how to have a strategy to be fruitful in your life. Not just to say, hey, I said a prayer somewhere, but you look more like the devil than the devil does, and how you're living your life, that you're supposed to be different and look different and realize if Jesus said this person believed but quickly fell away, I mean, read the word of God. Just read it. Forget what people are telling. Just read what God says.
Mm-hmm.
And it convicts you to realize, hey, it's not as flippant as people say. I've got to make a commitment to God. I got to give him my life. Mm-hmm. It's not some sort of supernatural sentence that I got to say, or some paragraph that I say to God. And so we're going to have available for you on the VFN Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com, and you're going to be able to have the teaching there. You're going to be able to have, of course, what I'm talking to you about now. And you're even going to have a simple form that you can fill out online and print it off. It's called Strategy for a Productive Life. We'll be right back.
You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand, and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and
yes,
we're trying
does.
To tap into what he's saying, and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back, and those that are being led to the Lord. I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart. John, one of my last jobs, you know, as a deputy sheriff was a school resource officer. It was called ESIL, which stands for Expanded Educational Agricultural Laboratory. I was like,
okay.
It's a farm, you know, with kids. It's like the last chance particular school they had in their district right there. There's a lot of different things going on, you know, different. I thought, you know, all these kids needed just somebody to be able to just kind of father them. And I had all these wrong ideas about how it was going to work. But, you know, one of the things that they did was they wanted to be able to have a golf tournament. It's called Best Ball Golf Tournament, where you have to get several of the teachers together, go out on a golf course to be able to play ball. And the best ball, based on my understanding of it, is that you have a group of people and each of you hit a ball in your group, and you have several groups playing each other, and whoever hits the best ball, you play off that ball. And, of course, I know what a hook is, and I know what a slice is, which is not what you want. And I didn't play golf. I kind of hacked at golf. You know what I'm saying? I was hacking at it. And these guys were merciless. It was just totally terrible. You know, I kept on trying to hit the ball, you know, in a certain direction, but it'd go in a total different direction. And finally, I was on a putting green, and I thought, this is it. I am almost there. My ball lands, and I'm going to knock it in. And finally, one of these teachers looks at me and says, just pick your ball up. I'm like, you know, I can't believe that. Of course, I didn't have the best ball at that point. But this is what happened. This is what I got to tell you why. This is so important. So we get back, and this particular teacher was one of the guys who worked with the students in the agricultural area. And so he had sort of like a shed, if you would, of where his some of his equipment was and his file cabinets. And there's this file cabinet, four-door file cabinet, that has a metal rod that you slide down to lock the whole file cabinet up. So you have to raise it higher than the file cabinet and you're lowering it down. So it's the same day now. The same day the boy makes in front of my golf. He's out there fixing to lock up his file cabinet and he lifts that rod up to slide it down into the file cabinet and lightning. I'm telling you, lightning comes down and strikes that rod and comes right through him and goes right into the ground.
Oh my goodness.
He's okay. It did erase his credit card, all the little magnetic strips on his credit cards. But he comes in, he's just shocked. Obviously, his hair is kind of sticking out a little bit. But he's okay. He's nothing happened to him physically. But he looked at me, total hair sticking out, you know, frazzled. And I looked at him and I said, don't ever make in front of my golf again. Remembering the wonders of the Lord, kind of sharing our testimonies, you know, about our personal experiences. This is, I call it that, our personal experiences when God poured out his presence powerfully at 3100 West DeSoto Street in Pensacola, Florida, at a church called Brownsville Assembly of God that Brother John Kilpatrick was pastoring at the time. You know, Psalms 177:11 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. There's something powerful. Your faith gets built when you talk about God. I mean, when you get with somebody who talks about God with you and you're talking back and forth, the more you talk about his awesomeness and his goodness and what he's done and what he does, the more your faith and your excitement, mm-hmm. your expectation goes up. There's just something about talking about his awesomeness. And we're just beginning to share that yesterday on BFN Radio, and you could just feel the Lord's presence, you know, as mm-hmm. we were sharing. And could y'all feel
awesome.
God's presence?
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Just so powerful because you're bragging on God. I mean, it's just mm-hmm. all yeah. God. And I know that we're sharing about, you know, Father's Day 95 and what took place, and I believe there is a actual video available of that gathering that day when Steve was, remember I told you where we were in the prayed for?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, even though God began to move that day, and it was a powerful move of God, that we still looked dead.
Right.
We were still dead compared to what God was going to do. And so often, you know, we can be guilty of evaluating or judging what God is going to do, but what's presently happening. But you have to understand, it's not that God's getting more and more potent or powerful or able. Mm-hmm. Is that you're seeing mankind's hearts get softer and softer and more in faith level going up. And then God begins to move on them. Because you can see, we were in the middle of powerful move of God. Things are happening. And one particular man's, you know, shaking under the power of God and things are happening. And right next to them is somebody that looks dead, like a dead log.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't believe. They weren't believing. So you see the difference. And when one man had faith and was desperate and hungry for God, and this other person wasn't hungry for God at all. They just wanted a religious experience. And guess what they got? A religious experience.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's all about that soil that we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
Two people could be hearing one message, and one person that seed bounces right off their heart, and the other person just takes it right in and just changes their life.
Exactly. Totally, totally, exactly. One thing I want to talk about, something that happened that couldn't really have explained it, you know, when God began to move, all I can tell you that he's just awesome. And you don't want to miss heaven because you're missing eternity in his presence. And mm-hmm. if that's just a taste of what his presence is like, imagine what eternity's like in his presence. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And so, but what happens though, you find out, because we are spirits that have bodies, have bodies that possess souls, that our flesh, you know, counts for nothing, Jesus said. Right. And so your flesh will act up in the presence of God. It just, you have, this is what your body basically works. You have, you know, blood, you know, bringing oxygen to all the parts of your body. You have your brain that's firing off, you know, neuroreceptors or whatever that sends a signal through a nerve down to your muscle that tells it to contract or not to contract. And that's how things move. And it counts for nothing in the context. So when you get into the power of God, it's mm-hmm. like your electrical system just starts to do some things, you know,
starts to get fried,
you know, the electrical field of God. And,
It's just a, it was a powerful thing. But I remember that, so everything that you, that happens to your body under those experiences is not necessarily, hey, this is what everybody, you know, their flesh does that. That's just the, how that one person's body reacted to the presence of God. But there are other things that would happen that was pretty common that we refer to them as the holy crunches, where all of a sudden, you know, I just even talking about it, I could begin to feel them. But we were definitely in shape because it's like the Spirit of God is just, you know, like in your belly and your, you know, in your chest. And when your spirit's just kind of just, I can't explain how it happens, but all of a sudden, yeah, all of a sudden it just contracts and you're doing a, imagine doing a crunch. A crunch is like a sit up that you don't, all you do is just lift your head up a little bit and you're, lift your knees up a little bit, but then you tighten up your abs. And I'm telling you, for so many years, I was I probably had like a 12 pack. I mean, it was a lot of physical exertion, you know, in the move of God, because it was just powerful.
It's manifestations of God moving.
Yeah, and you know, when you go through such a dry time, and that's the way it is with God. You're, God's not gonna, He knows how we're made, and He's gonna be a time where you're gonna have to go through and trust Him and move faithfully, and begin to hunger again for Him, where He becomes just like it talks about in the Songs of Solomon, that you chase after Him, and then you receive more, because even in the midst of that, that we'll talk about down the road, that, you know, people just became familiar with God after a while and took His awesomeness for granted, and here He's still moving, He's still doing what He's doing, and people are still getting touched by God, but those around, you know, tended to just like, oh, it's time to make the donuts, it's time, and all of a sudden you start seeing, you know, it waning, God's presence waning off, not because God changed, it's because the receptors changed, the receiving, and those, and you see what's happening today. That like Brother Kilpatrick, and in his presence ministry, and he's still, that's, he's hungry for the presence of God, and God's moving in his ministry powerfully, and John Michael and all the crew, that they just kept on going with God. And so that's what you got to do. Sometimes you got to let go of everything. Say, I want God. I'm not going to be tied down with all this. Everything's got to go. I got to have God. But all of a sudden, you know, in this, that I remember in the first days, we just came back, and the more that we went after God, and the more that we worshiped God, and the more that we prayed for each other, the softer we got, the more able we were to receive more of God. And it was like for 6 months, God just brought healing to us that was there, because we were just a whole bunch of broken people caught by surprise and by God. And we were just needed to be healed, because we didn't realize God was about to send the world.
Yeah.
And so we just soaked, and we would stay in the presence of God. It was so awesome that we would be in this building until like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And we were kind of reluctantly still would leave, because God's presence was just lingering and dwelling, and we're almost experimenting and seeing what God does. And I remember, you know, different things taking place. I'm not going to name too many names, but you know, people were like, I just feel His presence dripping off my finger, and somebody running like, pray for me. And it was just all this, we were seeing, you know, what was happening, and it was just
the
God.
Energy?
Oh yeah, it was just charged.
Presence of God so long, you would think that people were exhausted the next day. They just go to work and it's just like, where does this energy come from? Right. It's just God radiating all over
me. Well, think about it. You worked all day, and then you worshiped all night, and you prayed until the early mornings of the hours. Yeah, worship. Early mornings of the hour. And then we would all go out, and several of us, and all over, you get your little groups or wherever, you go out, and you'd have breakfast at 4 o'clock in the morning at some Denny's or something.
That's right.
And the power of God was still all over you, and you were just happy, and it was just like no problem, not a problem in the world. And you couldn't wait to come back together again for what God was doing. And this is the God that we serve. And with that understanding that you know, this is what we want. We want Him, we want His presence, we want God. And this is who He is, but we have to go after Him. And so in that, obviously, you know, Steve Hill began to pray for the people that were there, us, and which is basically the members of the gathering that was there. The local churches started gathering, coming together. And we saw, you know, one of the things that we saw was the ministers came from other churches, as we talked about last time, and that waned off quickly when they found out this may cost me my ministry.
Yeah, right.
And it, right. You think about it. What if they would have stayed? Because we needed tons of help. What if they would have stayed and just kind of adjusted to God instead of think about it, just what if they would have just what if they would have what if they would have what if they would have you just wonder. But anyway, be ready to adjust. By the way, you know what I did was I sold my company. I sold my company. I'll talk more about that maybe in the future. But I sold my company because I wanted all what God was going to do. Mm-hmm. And so you have one man praying for everybody every single night after preaching all night long. And, you know, Brother Kilpatrick was always under the glory cloud. He was, no matter where he was, he's just like a rag doll and loving it. Because you can imagine you're so beat, you're so tattered, you're torn. I mean, he carried so long. He prayed so long. He dealt with, you know, the church for a long time.
Mm-hmm. A huge
lots of sheep bit.
A couple of men to hold them up. You don't want to fall on you.
Yeah, yeah. And his mother had passed away during that time, and he was just broken man. Mm. And that's when God began to move, you know, powerfully. And so God's just renewing him, you know, just laying and he's loving it. And by the way, don't rush God. You know, Tommy Tenney explains about it in the God Chasers that, you know, God's moving like that and somebody thinks, okay, now it's time for me to get up on the stage and start talking behind this pulpit. And God came and split that pulpit in two and threw that man back against the wall.
Yeah.
Listen, it's sort of like saying when you're praying for rain and it's starting to rain, shut up and worship. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Don't get up and start talking about the rain. It's raining. Just thank God for the rain. When God's moving and he's there, what are you going to remember, we're all the same workers. You know, there's nothing you're going to say.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, don't say nothing now. Let's just worship. Pray for people, you know, they can receive God. And so, but there was, so you have, you know, Brother Kilpatrick on the floor or on the soundboard or somewhere. And then you have
orchestra pit.
Then you have Steve worn out. Steve's suits would be so wet. We had to buy him new suits every week or whatever. And I remember like his first week, bought him a big, he had to eat fruit to be able to stay energy. So I bought him like this big fruit thing. And he was staying at a hotel at that time. And kind of like a whatever kind of hotel, a kitchenette and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what you call them. And we're just following God to see what would happen. But he needed help. So they came and asked myself and Donna and a couple others to begin to have a panel where we would actually talk to people and kind of interview them about, hey, do you want to be on a prayer team? Where we would make couples, like a man and a woman or two people would go and they would pray for people. It pretty much ended up like, I'll pray this time and you catch. It's because so many people fell under the power of God. You had somebody back there to be able to catch them. And so we had that. Think about this. You know, today they have different programs out there where you see where there are people, talent searches and stuff, and you have a panel judging whether they have a talent or not. We had to have a panel to figure out how can we find workers who could actually work in the anointing and just stay up under the headship of what God is doing there and pray. So we began to talk to people and ask them and basically we're interviewing them and hearing where they were and hearing where the heart. We had some powerful things. I may tell you about it in the future where we saw, you know, one of these particular individuals that had the wrong thing in their heart and they basically fell dead. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you understand when God's presence shows up, his very presence judges sin. I mean, you can't, more of God means less of us, you know, voluntarily or involuntarily. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot between that. I'm going to tell that in the future. But we're having, there's some, God's moving, think about this, God's moving so powerfully that we had to have a panel that began to interview some of the members who were wanted to put in an application, say, hey, I'd like to pray, I'd pray. Mm-hmm. And then once they did that, they would go out in teams and they would pray. This is what they would pray. More Lord, more of your presence, Jesus. Mm-hmm. More of your anointing, Jesus, a refreshing Jesus. Don't pray in tongues, don't pray 10,000 words over them. Don't pray your what you think over them. Don't prophesy in their ear. This is all Jesus, brother. Just Jesus. And some people couldn't do that. He's like, no. This is not, just pray. And pray more of Jesus, more of the Lord. And that just opens things up because you don't need to add to Jesus.
Exactly.
And it was just so powerful. So now we ended up with teams, you know, husbands and wives and friends that would show up every night and they would go through the worship service. And then all of a sudden the anointing that's on Steve, the second he would call in for somebody that doesn't know God and come to the altar that you want to get your life right with God, they would just come running. They would just run, you know, and some people would get saved every night because there was such a presence of God. All you wanted to do was be clean. You just anything in this world. You didn't want anything in this world. No contamination. You know, you just didn't want, you didn't watch things. You didn't listen to things. You didn't hang with those. You just, because you just wanted to, you just wanted to stay, because you can feel, I mean, you just didn't have the nerve to walk in his presence anyway with sin. But it was just powerful.
Great fear of the Lord. His presence comes, such an amazing fear of the Lord.
Huge fear of the Lord. And especially when I tell you what happened, how the person, you know, falls dead of cancer suddenly. And but here it is. Now you have these teams of two going out, a whole bunch of different teams instead of just Steve doing it. And of course, Brother Kilpatrick was laying, still laying somewhere. You know, he was at the beginning, he would listen to the message, but as soon as, not sometimes, but not all the time. Anyway, he would be under the power of God. And so now the same anointings beginning to transfer that, that God brought through Steve and the labor of Brother John Kilpatrick. It's now, it's just pouring on others, and others are praying for people, and we're learning and maturing because we don't realize it, but the Lord is going to send the world. The world started to come. The world started to come, and he healed us first, and he began to work on us first before this happened. And who would ever thunk it? I mean, who ever thunk that? So just suddenly, and I remember Mark, I can't think of Mark's last name right now, but he's the tall guy that had all these children, and he's in the back, and he literally saw these angels at every door pouring out buckets of anointing, this huge bucket, just pouring it out over all the people. And this, God was just manifest. He was just this encounter with God and man. And the interesting thing, when you listen to Allison, and we probably pray that in one of these segments, is that, you know, the time is short. And one of the big things is time is short. And here it is. I mean, prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. Israel's weighing in the balance. And the church is, seems to be asleep, but I'm telling you, it's about to wake up. It's the true church is about to wake up. They're going to go after Jesus. They don't want religion. They don't want, you know, all that, you know, philosophies and traditions of men. They just want God. They just want this Jesus that we're talking about. Not another Jesus, as Paul talks about. He says, if anybody preaches to you another Jesus, you know, he says, don't even mess with that. And so, you know, one of the things that was happening in these, in the beginning days of it, was that we were soaking. It was almost, I could imagine if you're standing, you know, knee deep in a river, and it's a warm river, and the and so you feel the water moving as the river's moving like that. Well, literally, there was a river of God, presence, that would just come through there, and you'd feel it. In the beginning, it was just like around your feet, and as it began to progress and it went longer and longer, it began to come around halfway up around your knees. And by the time that river got to your knees, it's like you're like rubber, you know, and you couldn't hardly stand up. It just turns flesh into just gummy, jello. And it's the river of God. You know, when you talk about the river of God, when you read Revelation, when you talk about heaven, there's a river that flows from the throne of God. You know, we can just feel this river of his presence. You can say whatever you want to, but you could tangibly feel the river of God just flowing, which means when you fall under the power of God, or you lay, whatever you want, you're laying in that river, and that river of God's presence is just washing over you. And it was just a powerful, powerful time. And there's times when you're praying for people, but then when you're praying for them, if they did not, if they weren't receivers, if they're like the analytical type trying to receive God through their finite brains, they were like ricochets. They were like, it was just all this that's coming, this virtue, whatever God's putting through you to them, would bounce off of them almost, and it would just come right back and wash back over you. And here you are praying for them, and they weren't receiving it, or they were having issues, or the soil was hard, whatever it is. But all, it would just come back, and it's like, you know, you just prayed for yourself. And there's times when, you know, you were praying for them, but next thing you know, you're out. And it was just amazing the things that would happen. Under the, and it was like swimming in the presence of God, and it's just more of God resolves everything.
That's right.
You know, more of God resolves everything.
Yeah, it was so wonderful, you know. It, it, a lot of times people kept going up to get more prayer. They'd go back down on the floor and get back up, go back down on the floor and get back up. Well, once you started realizing, I could just stay here, you know what I'm saying, and let this river wash over me, people started just marinating and pickling in his presence, you know. It's just
pickling
like,
oh, in his presence.
That's good.
And all of a sudden, all that God is just washing all over you. And it's just so amazing how free you would just walk out. You sleep so much better. And you just had this amazing God consciousness. You just knew that God was always present and you just wanted to be your right relationship with him, a right relationship with others. And anything that, it's like everything had to go. The only thing that mattered was God. And people were making huge sacrifices. I mean, people were just, I mean, rearranging their work schedule, leaving jobs. They were doing different things with their kids and their schooling. I mean, the sacrifices that people were making just for the presence of God was beautiful. And that's what happens when God's presence comes. You know, it doesn't matter about these other activities and your job and what's going on or sporting events. Or I was having some time with Tony last night. I was actually talking about yesterday's program with him.
And give a shout out to Tony.
Hey, Tony. And God's presence started falling when we were talking about it. It just felt God's presence. And I was saying that, you know, there was a period of time that my my TV blew up. And I went for 3 years in that period without even watching a television program. So there was a period I didn't have no grid on what happened in the world at that particular time as far as, you know, pop culture or whatever, just stuff that's on the news and stuff. All you wanted was just more of God. You didn't want any distractions, not one distraction.
You're talking about, you know, the sleep that you would have during that time that, of course, obviously if you're doing the holy crunches and that type of thing, but it was it's almost like when you lay down to sleep, I mean, think about it, you go into your house, there's no noise. Because there was a time when you would go into your home or your apartment or where you're staying, and if there's no noise, you would be uncomfortable with that. So you would turn on a radio, or you would turn on a television, or you would make something that made noise. But now you're walking and it's just void of sound, and it's wonderful, right. And the presence of God is with you, and you lay, when you lay in your bed, you lay there, and ever how you laid there at the beginning is exactly how you are when it comes time to get up, when all of a sudden the Holy Spirit begins to wake you up, because you begin to ponder the things of God, and as soon as you do that, your flesh starts doing a holy crunches or something, but it's like you don't move all night long, because you're just, it's, you're in heaven. Nothing matters. And imagine that, you know, good sleep, perfect sleep. But, it started, you have to understand, and we'll probably make this available to you, that the outpouring of Father's Day 95 was a trickle compared to what built over time. And, hard hearts were having to be softened, mindsets, you know, we had to deal with. You know, it's real easy for people that's been seeing things for a while to go, oh, this is wonderful. But we had to go from 0 to 60. We had to say, okay, all right, this is God, you know, because it was something that God was not doing anywhere on the earth, you know. And you know, Steve was very studied in revival, and this was always his desire to see this. He's begged God for this, you know, for his, this is a gift, I believe, for God, for Steve as well. And so he educated us continually on different outpourings and revivals that happened, but he never did that, you know, that I would have had a grid for this, but you know, it's just good. I remember that, you know, Brother Kilpatrick was, you know, he's very, to know him before this outpouring and to know him after the outpouring, he's the same man, and he's the same love of God and all, but he was such a reserved man. He was such a, you know, just a reserved man, very orderly and, you know, every detail of the particular sanctuary that he had built when he was there, he almost wore himself out making sure that every detail was right, that he had to take a month off to rest, you know, afterwards, because he wanted to make sure it was just in its right place and right order, and sort of like Pat. Anyway, so but once, you know, God touched him and he experienced God's presence, that's all he wanted.
Yeah.
And that's all we want.
Yeah.
And that's why you look today, and you can understand why his gathering is called In His Presence. You can understand why he's traveling and believing God for any travel. This is where you go. This is where you go. You go where there's hunger. And God will move where there's hunger. He's not going to move because you think, hey, I think I'd like this. Or I'll squeeze him in between now and I got to get out of here in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a hunger for God. You know, begin to ask God for hunger in your life. You know, one way to get hunger for God is quit stuffing yourself on the world. I mean, you right. can't sit here and, you know, and feed yourself 50 burgers and wonder why you're not in the daytime and then come home and your wife or your family fix you a meal or it's time for supper and you say, I'm not hungry. Of course you're not hungry. You've been eating burgers all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when it comes to, you only have so much room in your heart. I mean, if you're going to fill your heart and your eyes full of the world, then you're not going to have any room for God. Mm-hmm. So why not think about, you know, hey, I'm going to fast the world. I'm going to just turn the world off. I'm going to begin. And I want to encourage you as we're going into 2013, you know, every year we'd like to take a time of fasting and prayer. And God just really speaks to us through that. Mm-hmm. And begin to think about, you know, I just want 2013 to be I'm going to believe the report of the Lord in 2013.
Right.
I'm going to go after God's presence. And I believe that what's going to happen in the future is going to be all these other things on steroids because God's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. His sons and his daughters are going to prophesy. Old men's going to have dreams. You're going to see the same anointing, the same love of God just happening. You're not going to be able to know it all. You're not going to be able to see it all because it's happening everywhere. It doesn't matter anyway because we're fellow workers, so you don't have to know everything. But God knows what's going on and what he's doing in the face of the earth, and it's just going to be an awesome, awesome time with the Lord. Knowing this, understanding this, we're going to be talking about where I sold my company. I sold my company in the midst of this. I had a plastic fabrication company. You know, Pat was working with me at that time. We were building plastic things and lots of things.
Yeah.
He's a master fabricator.
Was.
Yeah, was. And
he don't know more.
Yeah. And taught him so well, he started his own company. How to do the business thing, not the plastic.
He taught
me plastics and I taught him business.
Yeah.
But I wanted more time, you know. I wanted just to go after God, so I sold my company. So in the next time we talk about remembering the ones of the Lord, you're going to find out I just sold my company. All right, I just totally sold it and believed God, and God provided in a powerful way. And I believe because of these different decisions that I had made during that time, that it was all leading up to where we are today and leading us to where we're going to go tomorrow. Listen, we've been waiting for you. We've been preparing for you. You know, things are lined up. God, there's been men and women that have been digging trenches that God's about to pour rain in, and the church is going to just vitalize. And the things that the church was turned to and has turned to for substance and provision, you know, this money cliff is there for a reason. You know, it needs to go over the cliff if we made it God. But listen, those that serve God, those that love God, those that honor God, that don't rob from God, those that just go after God, you know, they'll never be so disappointed. You draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Because I got to tell you what, I sold my company, and I'm going to tell you about how John and I ended up in a hot dog stand, taking care of the church from all around the world. We spent more time, he and I both spent more time with the church around the world than anybody else did. We spent all day with the church in lines that were so long, they went around blocks. People that would get sunburned and they would get heat exhaustion, and we begin to feed them. We begin to love on them, provide. And we're going to tell some awesome stories about, you know, what God allowed us to do. And it was, yes, Lord, we will serve. We had what's called the Lighthouse, and we were able to really take care. Okay, that's going to be coming up in a future story. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.